Berkshire Bach celebrates Bach at New Year's with Berkshire Bach Ensemble director and soloist Eugene Drucker, founder of the Emerson String Quartet and a program of Bach, Purcell, and Mozart. The ensemble will perform three concerts, the first on December 30th at the Academy of Music in Northampton, Massachusetts, New Year's Eve at the Mahawi in Great Barrington, and on New Year's Day at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall in Troy, New York. Violinist Eugene Drucker is a founding member of the Emerson String Quartet in 1976 and is also an active soloist. He has appeared with orchestras of Montreal, Brussels, Antwerp, Hartford, Richmond, Omaha, Jerusalem, just to name a few. For a preview of Bach at New Year's, it is a great pleasure to welcome Eugene Drucker to the roundtable.
Hello, thank you for having me.
A great pleasure to have you on the program, sir. Thank you very much for taking the time out. Give us a sense of, you have had a long participation with the with Berkshire Bach, and I am interested of how all of this came about and your participation.
I've known Ken Cooper for quite a long time, actually since I was a student at Juilliard and Columbia. He was on the faculty at Barnard, I think, and at that time, and organized concerts in one of the halls at Barnard. And I remember playing Prokofiev's solo sonata one very windy spring day back in 1971, I think it was. So I've known Ken since that time. And my wife, Roberta Cooper, the cellist, has also worked with him in a variety of capacities. When Ken was involved with a series at the Brooklyn Academy in one of the alternate spaces they had there, my quartet played, among other things, the Mozart transcriptions of fugues from Bach's Well-Tempered Clavier. And a few of those figure on the program this coming New Year's time. Then out of the 23 years that Ken Cooper was the music director of Berkshire Bach's New Year's concerts, Roberta and I must have participated in at least 20 of them. In addition, Roberta played a few other occasions, some of the autumn concerts, in October, and the Thanksgiving time concerts that they used to have. So it was not only a New Year's enterprise, but my involvement has been mostly at New Year's, as I say, for maybe 20 of the past 23 years.
So give us a sense of what it is to put, what it's like to put a program like this together for the end of the year, and not just celebrating the music of Bach, but many other composers as well.
I decided to strike out in a few different directions from past programming. And, of course, Ken also had a great deal of variety in his programs. The usual fare with the six Brandenburg concertos, but I remember at least one season when we did the four orchestral suites of Bach. And various times I played both of the violin concertos of Bach, as well as the double concerto with the late Joseph Silverstein, who had been one of my mentors earlier in my life. So there was a great deal of variety in the programming, and it featured not only music by Bach, but occasionally we would do a Handel Concerto Grosso and some music by Telemann. But this time I thought that after 23 years of a great and charismatic harpsichordist, it would be interesting to try at least for 1 year to have a program without keyboard. So that would almost force my programming thoughts in a different direction. And almost of necessity, it would involve later music in addition to some Baroque music. So Mozart was the natural natural composer for me to choose, right, as one of the primary focal points of this new way of programming. Now, keeping in mind that these are end-of-the-year concerts and they're celebratory in nature, I decided to begin with an early divertimento by Mozart for strings, D major divertimento, which I recall having played probably when I was as young as Mozart was when he wrote this piece, which is 16, I think. Just an absolutely joyous piece, compact, already showing a certain interest in counterpoint, which he was to develop much more fully later in his life, especially after he had been exposed to the music of Johann Sebastian Bach when he was in his mid-20s. So we begin with this divertimento, and then later in the program, at the request of the board that I play a violin concerto, I decided on the Turkish concerto of Mozart, which is probably his most famous, the most famous of the five concertos that he wrote when he was 19 years old. And then in the second half of the concert, we're going to feature three of the transcriptions that Mozart made from the Well-Tempered Clavier. And this was a huge discovery for him when he was at the home of a gentleman named the Baron von Swieten, who was a great connoisseur of all kinds of music that at that point in the 1780s was considered old-fashioned. It was somewhat out of vogue. So Mozart became familiar there with a lot of music by Handel and Bach. And one of the ways in which composers would learn older music in those days was to copy out the score by hand. Of course, there was no other way to do it. And sometimes perhaps to transcribe the music for another instrument or combination of instruments. So that's how Mozart did it with a lot of the three-voice fugues from the Well-Tempered Clavier, which he transcribed for string trio, four-voice fugues, which he transcribed for string quartet. Now, in addition to that, we're going to have that ninth contrapuntis from Bach's Art of the Fugue, with which you began this program. Very exciting piece, which in recent decades was made famous by the Swingle singer's rather jazzy version of it. I mean, a lot of Baroque music, particularly Bach, really swings. You know, if you even if you're not trying to play it in a jazzy way, but if you're just responsive to the vitality of the rhythmic life in there, you know, you just have to respond by playing with a lot of rhythmic verve. And I hope that we'll be able to achieve that during our concerts. So the use that I've made of Mozart's transcriptions is to keep one of them in the string quartet genre as he envisioned it, but to take another one of the fugues and have it played by a woodwind quartet, because we have a lot of wonderful players traditionally in our Berkshire Bach concerts. So this particular adaptation will be for flute, oboe, English horn, and bassoon. And in fact, I hardly had to do anything with it. I just transposed a few notes at one phrase for the English horn to make it work within the English horn's register. And then the most lively and assertive of the fugues that Mozart transcribed for string quartet, I decided to have in a sort of string orchestra version expanded with two trumpets and bassoon. Now, in addition to this music of Bach and Mozart, I wanted to include some other Baroque music with which I was familiar. And recently with the Emerson String Quartet, we've been focusing on music of Purcell, Henry Purcell, the great English 17th century composer who died when Bach was 10 years old. We've recorded Purcell's Chaconne or Chaconne, and that's for four string instruments, probably viols at the time that Purcell wrote, but it can be played very convincingly on with a string quartet, just as his fantasias for viols can also be played beautifully by a string quartet. That's another part of the recording we made. So since I was pretty familiar with this music, I thought perhaps we could do one of the fantasias simply in a string orchestra version rather than for string quartet. And looking at the Chaconne, it seemed to me that it could work very well augmented by woodwind instruments in some of the more emphatic moments. So here I've made, I hesitate to call it an orchestration really, but let's say I've scored it by having certain parts played by the whole ensemble of strings, and then the most emphatic parts having the strings doubled by oboes, bassoon, flute, English horn, And then some of the most intimate parts, I've taken out not only those wind instruments, but the body of the string orchestra and left with a concertino of just the string quartet. So I've achieved, I hope, a variety of texture, and I'm very interested to hear what this music will sound like, since I'm familiar with it mostly from playing it in the string quartet.
I love how you describe it. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I just wanted to mention that another composer on this program is William Boyce, a composer who I think has been unjustly neglected. I first became aware of him, other than just a name in the history books, when I went to a mostly Mozart festival concert in New York maybe 3 summers ago, and David Zinman was conducting the orchestra, and among other things, they had a symphony by William Boyce. I was very impressed by it as being really healthy, vital music, and surprised that I had not been exposed to any of his music before. There are 8 symphonies. Some of them are more complex than others, but I chose the first symphony because it's rather brief, and it's high-spirited generally in the outer movements, and I thought also this would be a good way of celebrating the New Year's time.
Well, as you said, it's celebratory, and that is wonderful. The ensemble will perform 3 concerts, the first on December 30th at the Academy of Music in Northampton, New Year's Eve at the Mehewi in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, and on New Year's Day at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall in Troy, New York. Hard to think of 3 more beautiful places to hear this beautiful music. What a great pleasure. Thank you very much, Eugene Drucker, for joining us. Have a beautiful holiday season, and thank you for sharing with us this morning.
Thank you. I appreciate your interest.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, find out more information by going to BerkshireBach.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.